Hafa day, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from evangelist Will Galkin. It was presented in August of 2003. The title of the message, God Knows You.
Please take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, we really have a prayer. Last few verses, verse 23 and verse 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Do you realize that God knows me? Not only does God know me, but God goes with me. Not only does God know me and God go with me, but God owns me. You see, we see in this text of Scripture how that God knows me, goes with me, and owns me. And I believe that all of us could deal with having a little more of the sense of the presence of God. We would allow our thoughts and understanding of God's presence to guide us, direct us, convict us, comfort us. And so let's pray with David. Search me, O God. Know me. Try me. See if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Father, I pray that, Lord, you would take your word like you have done faithfully in times past. And Father, that you would open up our hearts and search us. You'd know our hearts. You'd try us. You'd know our thoughts. Lord, you'd lead us in the way everlasting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever tried to hide something before? You ever tried to hide a birthday or a Christmas gift from somebody else and they found out? It seems like whenever I try to hide something from Christy, she always figures it out. She has a special radar for gifts. You cannot hide from God. We see in this text of Scripture that, first of all, God knows me. You cannot hide your behavior. God knows everything about me. This is what people call his omniscience. Verse 1, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me altogether. The word search me is really the word that's used to describe the penetration that a person would do to the ground to find silver, gold, or water. Jesus said, the very hairs of your head are numbered. God knows you. He knows all my actions and words. Verse 2, thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou knowest the words in my tongue, but lo, thou knowest it all together. God knows when you rest and when you run. He knows when you wait and when you walk, when you pause and when you play, when you sit and when you stand. God knows you. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The eyes of the Lord are upon their ways. They are not hid from my face, neither is thy iniquity hid from my eyes. God knows me. Every step I take, God sees me. He watches me. He knows me. You cannot hide from God because He knows where you go. He knows what you think. He knows everything about you. Every word that I say, you see, Christ said, out of the good treasure of a man's heart, he speaks. And he goes on to say this, that every idle word that men shall speak, that they shall give an account in the day of judgment. Do you realize that your God knows every word you say? Every word of kindness? Every word of love? Every word of hate? Every word of anger, everything that you say from your lips, God knows. Every email that you sent last week, every instant message, every letter that you've licked and stamped, God knows. You see, God knows me. He knows our thoughts of hurt. Some of you, you've come into this room, you've come into this building with hurt on your heart. God knows it. The thoughts of bitterness, the thoughts of anger, the thoughts of covetousness, the thoughts of fear, the thoughts of lust. God knows you. You cannot hide from God. He knows my words. He knows my thoughts. He knows my motives. Thou compasseth my path and my lying down. Verse 3. That word compasseth means to winnow, to sort out the good from the bad, to take the chaff from the wheat. Jesus said, all the churches shall know that I am he that searcheth the reins and the hearts. For the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. Psalm 7, 9. God knows why we do what we do. He knows what will last and what will pass. God knows why I'm preaching. That's sobering, is it not? He knows why I'm saying what I'm saying. He knows every sin. He knows every act of righteousness. He knows everything about me. Do you know that your God knows why you're sitting in the pew right now? He knows what is your motives in your heart of why you do what you do. God knows you. He knows why you go to church. He knows why you give money. He knows everything about you. Your God knows you. Well, what does this knowledge produce? You see in verse 6, it says this, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot obtain it. It's unbelievable. How many of you have ever thought a thought about God that was just unbelievable? Like, you've spent some time thinking about the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You're thinking about it and you're thinking, I just don't get it. Would you raise your hand? What about the thought of God is from everlasting to everlasting, that he never was created and he never will pass away? Have you ever thought about God? And you're thinking about God in your mind, and it's just so unbelievable. It just blows your mind. It's too wonderful for you to think about. What about the fact that God knows you? That you cannot go into the darkness of your room and God is not there. What about the fact that you cannot hide in the dark recesses of your mind and God doesn't see you? What happens when you really think about God knowing you? Well, David said this, thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thy hand on me. David's response was that it was a pressure on his heart that he could not escape from God. My friend, as you think about the fact that God knows me, it either ought to convict you or comfort you. You cannot hide your sin from God. You cannot get around or weasel around God. God knows you. There is no secret sin with God. There is no dark recesses that you can hide from God. But just like it ought to convict you, it ought to comfort you. How many of you need God's loving touch even today? Would you raise your hand? My friend, God's presence is a convicting agent, but it is a comforting thought to know that your God will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I think of my daughter, Anna Grace. She's 2.5. She's kind of got daddy wrapped around her finger, you know what I mean? She's got just a sweet spirit. This morning she jumped up and she was, I was praying and getting ready. She said, what are you doing, Daddy? I said, I'm praying. Oh, I want to pray with you. And she comes running over to the couch. Little Anna Grace, she was in her stroller and Mom was pushing Anna Grace and the sun was setting and Mom was trying to tell Anna Grace how pretty the sun was as it was setting. And all of a sudden, little Anna Grace goes, that's not the normal response of seeing the sunset. You know what I'm saying? She's just screaming, a death wail. Ah! Mom goes around and she looks at Anna Grace, and Anna Grace has got her arm up, and there's this caterpillar going, doop, 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 doop. Anna Grace does not like caterpillars. And with one fail swoop, Mom's hand brushes off that caterpillar. Mom brings that hand back onto the face of little Anna Grace and comforts her. My friend, do you need the convicting hand of God this morning? Do you need God to brush out the sin of your heart that he already sees? Could it be, though, that not only do you need the hand to brush aside the sin, but you need his loving hand to come back on your face? My friend, God knows you. You cannot hide from God. You see, my friend, not only does God know you, but God goes with you. You see, not only does God know your mind and what you think and what you say, God goes with you. He knows where you go. He is everywhere. In verse 7, it says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whether shall I flee from thy presence?" God goes with us everywhere. This is what people call omnipresence. Do you remember, perhaps some of you can remember in 1986, the Libyans bombed a discotheque in West Germany. And so Ronald Reagan, then the president of the United States, got up with Margaret Thatcher, the prime minister of Great Britain, and they got up together and they looked into the camera. And Ronald Reagan, he said these words as he pointed and he was talking about the terrorists. You can run, but you can't hide. You see, you can run from God. You can try to get away from the fact that he knows you and he knows your thoughts and he knows everything you can do. And you can try to run from God. But my friend, you cannot hide from God. Can any hide himself in the secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill the heaven and the earth? Jeremiah 23, 24. My friend, you cannot run from God because he goes with you. People try to think that death will hide them. Verse 8. If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Up or down, height or depth, the place of the living or the place of the dead, God goes with you as it is appointed unto man, once to die. But after this, the judgment. You cannot escape from God. Do you remember the story of Judas Iscariot? He betrays Jesus Christ. He gets the blood money. The conviction settles on. And so he runs to the Pharisees and he throws down the money. He says, I don't want this money. He runs the other direction. He gets a hangman noose. He ties it around his neck. He throws the other end over the branch. He jumps off the branch or the rope breaks. His body breaks open. It spills all over the ground. And when he died, he entered into the presence and judgment of God. My friend, death will not hide you from God. You cannot escape from God by living your life your own way and just pretending that nothing's going to happen when you die. My friend, you see, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And I saw the dead, the small and the great, stand before God. Death does not erase God's presence. Death hastens God's presence. You see, death does not erase the fact that we'll see God. It just hastens it. It brings it to pass in a quicker way. Death will not hide you from God's presence. But we also see in verse 9 that distance will not hide us from the presence of God. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. You see, the wings of the morning is the sun rising from the west, and the uttermost parts of the sea is the sun setting in the east. You see, you cannot hide from God. You enjoy looking at a sunrise, seeing that sun quickly come up over the horizon, traveling the rays of light traveling 93 million miles in 8 minutes. As fast as we can fly in a plane is not faster than the sun rising and the speed of light. And my friend, even if you could travel the speed of light, you could not outrun God. Distance doesn't hide you from God. Jonah, remember him? He thinks he's going to run from God. God lovingly sends the storm. He gets cast overboard, and that great fish swallows him up and spits him out on the soil. Achan, he goes, he steals, he takes the gold, he takes the silver, and he takes it back to the darkness of his tent, and he sticks it with the Babylonian clothes underneath the tent, and he thinks that he's hiding from God. But my friend, God was seeing him. What about Adam and Eve? And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden, but God still saw them. You cannot hide from God. You see, my friend, you can outrun God. God knows you. He sees your thoughts. He knows your actions. He knows your words. He knows why you say what you say. And then to go on, not only does he know you, he goes with you, and death will not hide you, and distance will not hide you. And we also see in verse 11 that darkness will not cover us. I say, surely the darkness shall cover me. Even the night shall be light about me. Yea, darkness hideth not from thee. But the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike unto thee. And my friend, you cannot hide in darkness. There may be secret deeds that you've done in closets or rooms, or the lights were off and you thought nobody saw. God saw. It may not be in a room, but it may be in the darkness of your mind. God saw. My friend, darkness does not cover you. You cannot run from God because he goes with you. You cannot hide from God because he knows you. My friend, God knows and goes with us. But we also see that not only does God know me, not only does God go with me, but God owns me. You see, in verse 13, we realize that thou possessed my reins. Verse 14, I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. I had a girl came to our camp. She was born out of wedlock. Her parents were not married at the time of her conception. Her mom told her multiple times, she said, you were a mistake. In fact, she went to a Christian counselor who said the same thing. You were just a mistake. Can I tell you something? She was not a mistake. She was fearfully and wonderfully made. You see, God took the pieces of that girl and wove them together, and took the emotions and wove her together and made her into a creation that is to turn around and praise her, because that's what verse 14 says. Because of how we're created, we are to live a life that praises God by our obedience and praises God by our actions and our words. My friend, God owns you. You see, that's the principle of ownership. God owns you. My friend, we are to be living under the submission of the will of God. God, you want me to go do this? I will, because you own me. If you owned an animal, would you want the animal to obey? Yes or no? If you owned a possession, would you want the possession to do as you told it to do? Yes. God owns you. But can I tell you of a problem? We were all born in rebellion towards God. You see, every single one of us were born, though God created us, we were born with a free will in our heart, and we were born with the sin nature in our soul, and we were all in rebellion against God, because God's word tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He tells us there's none righteous, no, not one. You see, we were born at war with God. Wherefore, by one man's sin, sin entered in the world. This is Adam. And death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Romans 5, 6 tells us, for yet when we were out without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. My friend, you were born at war with God. You were born not submitting to God's will, but you were born in opposition to God's will. That's why we need Jesus. Perhaps you've trusted in Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior. Perhaps you've submitted your will to Christ, because Christ said, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. And there needs to be a place in your life where you say, it's not my life, but it's your life. Oh, Jesus, I know I've sinned against you, but I understand that you died on the cross for my sins. Oh, Jesus, would you please wash away my sins today? I can remember as a boy, understanding for the first time that I was born with sin, but Jesus died for me. See, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation, or a payment, for our sin. Look right up here. Jesus loves you. And it could be that there is one that you've been thinking about, how can you take care of the sin in your heart? You've been thinking of how that you can know for sure that you'd spend eternity with God. My friend, that is through Jesus Christ. And Jesus came and he died on a cross and he shed his blood because John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which cometh to take away the sin of the world." And in 1 John, we hear that Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. My friend, even today, you can put your trust in Jesus Christ and you can say, "Oh God, I know that you created me. And oh God, I know that I've got a sin nature in my heart and I was born in opposition to you. But oh Jesus, I know that I can turn from my sin and trust in you." You see, my friend, as we look at God and we see that God knows me and that God goes with me and God owns me, it produces in my heart two attitudes. The first attitude is that there would be a desire to separate from sin. Look in verse 19, would you? "Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God." It goes on in verse 21, "Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee?" You see, when you see God and you know that he sees you, there's a desire to separate from sin. You see, when you see God, the fact that he knows you and that he goes with you and that he owns you, there's a separation from sin. My friend, really, just listen to this. Do you think really that if you believe that God was with you at the time that you are tempted to reach out and steal that item, would you really steal that if you believe that God was with you? Yes or no? Would you really, though it's 11 o'clock and nobody's with you and you're surfing through the channels and something pornographic comes on, dear sir, would you really watch that if you really were conscious of the fact that God is with you? Yes or no? Joseph said when Potiphar's wife was coming to him again and again, he said, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Ma'am, would you really gossip at that other person if you really thought that God was with you? You see, I believe that some of us, we know the secret sin in our heart. We know what is damaging, really, our walk with God. We know what is in our hearts, and we're thinking, nobody sees, but it's not true. God sees. And when we think about God seeing it, it should produce a separation from sin in our heart. You see, David said that God knew him and searched him, but now in verse 23, he flips it around, and now, rather than saying that God knows him, he says, "God, you search me. You try me." And now he's giving a surrender of his will. You see, it should produce a separation from sin, but a surrender towards God. It's, "God, you have total access to my every file of my life. You have the administrative rights to see everything in my heart. God, you have the key to every door. Lord, I surrender to you." The greatest thing that could happen in this church is there would be a people who are living, surrendered, total access to God. F.B. Meyer, he was a pastor in England in the 1800s. He said this about his ministry. He said, "I was a pastor, but not happy at all. Doing my work for the pay I got, I just wanted to please my fellow pastors. Until one day, a man by the name of Hudson Taylor," how many have heard of Hudson Taylor? He's a great missionary to China. "He came to his church with two young men. One of the young men was another missionary by the name of C.T. Studd. Perhaps you've heard of him too. And there, these men, they come into F.B. Meyer's church. F.B. Meyer is about 40 years old. Hudson Taylor is about 30. And C.T. Studd is in his late 20s. F.B. Meyer looks at C.T. Studd and Hudson Taylor says, "What do you have that I don't have?" Have you ever looked at somebody and just saw such a peace, joy, wondered why did they have it and you don't? F.B. Meyer turned and said, "What do you have that I do not have?" and put these young men in an uncomfortable position. And finally, C.T. Studd looked at this older pastor and said, Have you given everything to God? It was like an arrow piercing the heart. The conviction was sharp. F.B. Meyer winced, went into his office, and purposed in his heart when he went home to get right with God. He goes home, he gets on his knees, and starts talking to God about something that whenever there was a communion service, God would bring to his heart. Whenever there was a special service, God would bring this thing to his heart. And he got on his face, and he began talking to God and saying, "Oh God, I want to give you everything." He said it was almost like a vision, watching Christ come into the life and his heart and just take the keys of the will of his life. And he turned to F.B. Meyer, and Jesus said, "Are these all the keys?" And F.B. Meyer said, "What, except this one?" And Jesus said, "Well, what is that one to?" And F.B. Meyer said, it's to the little closet in the attic of my heart, and you don't need to know anything about it. F.B. Meyer said that Jesus put the keys back in his lap and started to glide towards the door, and turning to him said, "F.B. Meyer, if you cannot trust me with all, you cannot trust me at all." F.B. Meyer, with that one little key in his hand, he said, "Oh, Jesus, I cannot give it, but if you can take it, you can have it." He said, Jesus gently pried open his fingers and took that last key. And he said, Jesus began to clean out that secret place of my heart. And F.B. Meyer said, years down the road, he said, looking back, he said, "I cannot believe that I was so foolish to have almost sold my birthright for such a mess of pottage." God knows you. God goes with you. God owns you. There must be a cleansing of the heart. And there must be a surrender of your will. And just say, "Oh God, you know me. You go with me. You own me. You have my life." You do not know Christ as your Savior, my friend. Oh, don't put it off another day. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Just turn from your sin and trust in Christ and let Him clean out your heart. We need a people who know that God knows them, goes with them, and owns them.
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled, "God Knows You," from Evangelist Will Gulkin. It was originally presented in August of 2003 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented at conferences and special meetings at Harvest Baptist Church. Send us a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.net, hbcguam.net. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.